Hey, folks, welcome to another edition of Not If But When Community Alert. I'm Ted Adams, and my co-host is Mike Williams, and we're talking to you today from some studios at the TVSB in Santa Barbara. And we're going to be talking a bit today about a subject that we haven't really touched on before. It was underlined and brought to my attention that because I got hooked into it, and that is the fraud and the problems with the scamming that's going on across the board these days. And I got hooked into a major sweepstakes last week. It ended up costing me a couple of grand. And I wanted to talk a little bit about it with you folks, just to make you aware of several things about this system. And that is that, for one thing, that they never call you and advise you that you have won one of these. If you get a call from someone telling you you've won a sweepstakes, then you automatically know that it's a scam, it's a fraud. Secondly,
Stop. How do you know that?
Because if you go to any of the websites for sweepstakes and they say, okay, we will never call you,
okay,
which was my next point. If you get called by someone and they tell you something like that, go online and take a look at the sweepstakes company. And they have a lot of information up there and a lot of information about the scams and how they're affecting the national public and how the public feels about what they're doing. It's become a tremendous problem. And I have to say that these people that are pulling these scams are incredibly adept at what they're doing. They sent me incredible emails and pictures of identification and identifying the people that were going to be working to bring this sweepstakes into fruition. And I mean, just on and on and on. And pictures and a lot of discourse about the awards. And this particular one had like $10,000 a week, $7.5 million, a lump sum. And they had, just a number. They had a beautiful Mercedes-Benz ORV, off-the-road vehicle. And all these, and then they, of course, they had tell you that, well, in order to process, we're going to have to get some money from you, but your money will be refunded as soon as we get the, you know, which is like,
there's your red flag right there, among everything else.
But yeah, because it's absolutely against the law for anyone to ask for money if there is any kind of a sweepstakes or anything that has been awarded to you. So
you would think that if anybody's got enough money to give away $7 million, which is advertising money, would have enough money to pay for the costs associated with doing it.
Well, that's what it said right in the contract that they sent me. Oh, we will pay for everything. We'll pay the taxes on the money that you're being awarded. We will pay costs.
Nobody's going to do that.
And so what's happening is that, they sent credentials of the individuals that were
sophisticated
to me. And,
yeah, it's easy to do.
And I mean, it's just, and I, of course, in the back of my mind, I was going, there, nothing here is proven. All they're doing is giving me some whitewash, you know, but at the same time, there was something in me that felt, well, you know, I've never taken any money.
It starts with G.
It's my turn, and, you know, and what good can I do with that money, and how can I help the community, and all the things, you know, that are out there that you see it, oh, my people are going to really love me now because, you know, I've got all this money.
Well, that'll be a problem, too.
And then I started thinking about it and realized that everyone that I've ever heard of that has won a large sum of money has been made miserable by it, because it's such a life-changing experience. And all of the things that they've learned about how to survive in society and how to do the way they shop, the way that they, what they buy, all the things that over their lifetimes become moot and no longer really of any value. And then it creates problems at home between the spouses and that, all that sort of thing, because they're used to caring or not caring or being involved with certain aspects. It just changes your lives so much. So anyway, I mean, it was a great relief when I finally realized it, that I was wearing a stupid sign around my neck. Yeah, that I was just being a fool. So I just stopped. And then, of course, the phone would not stop ringing. And I had to take all of their information and turn it all off. And then I had to go to my bank, and I had to go to the police department, you know, and file an affidavit to make sure if they misused any information I gave them, that any charges that would be put on me would be justified by being paid off, so that because I had to have the proof that I had actually filed a report with the sheriff's department. And something that I haven't done yet and that I should do is also the large financial organizations should be notified, like the ones that handle your credit cards and all that sort of thing.
Get a copy of your credit report. Make sure somebody hasn't adopted you.
Oh, totally. I mean, and PayPal and all that sort of thing. And you have to.
This is why I don't use any of this stuff. I just don't do it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's up to you, of course. You know, right. If you want to go downtown to your.
But we're being forced to do it because retail is being killed. You're not even going to be able to park in this town soon without having to have a credit card to pay for a meter.
Well,
it's that way in Sacramento, and I'm going up there again next week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm used to that kind of stuff, and it you cannot get away from not having to have a credit card or a cash card of some sort. And a lot of it's because of this. For as irritating as it is,
company, the big companies that are involved in giveaways are having a really hard time because they're being used and misused, and their constituents are being misused.
So is Publishing Clearinghouse still in business? I don't get any of their mail or any of that garbage anymore.
Evidently they are.
Wow.
Evidently okay. They are. And I didn't realize it because I had signed something that showed up on the internet a couple of months ago asking me if I wanted to register for the sweepstakes, and I said, sure, what the heck? It's like going in and buying a card for the Megabucks thing.
Yeah, don't do that. You end up on every mailing list in the world.
Yeah.
Don't give stores your phone number. You know,
I'm in the dark web. I'm on the dark web, you know, and I think we all are by now because so many companies have lost their information.
The government's lost it. I have, to the point of taking a lot of criticism over the years, just pretty much refused to do most of these things on the internet. I don't give stores my phone number unless there's a reason. One of the things I've discovered, and in fact, just yesterday, I had to register our company in the Washington, D.C., because we're going to be doing some business there. So I got to register the business, which means I got to do this and I got to do that. And I pump this stuff. And then they want copies of this, that, and the other thing. Same thing with San Francisco. So I get all that done, and this morning when I get up and power up and start rechecking my email, nothing but scam emails. Just in that amount of time, just doing that with the city of Washington.
So hungry.
That the scammers are there. So even their system is less than secure, and yet they're trying to tell you that it is, and obviously it's not. But the stuff that I get that simulates eBay, is very sophisticated, some of it. It's really quite absolutely cleverly done. Now, I figure anybody's got that kind of skill probably ought to go do something legitimate, but they obviously are making good money on this.
Oh, tremendous.
But anything from eBay and...
And it's almost impossible to catch them because it's all done on these phony phone numbers and all.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how it all works. And they have their voices disguised so that they sound like an interplanetary visitor or something.
We can do that here on your very own little Broadcaster 2 Pro.
Absolutely.
We discovered that the hard way. I just don't think you can be too careful on this stuff. And there's nothing.
I am so naive and gullible. That's my problem, is I believe everyone. I've been the fool all my life, you know, dancing.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think it's that people are too trusting. They're too gullible. And they believe what they're told, and they don't think things out. Why does the hardware store need my phone number? They're not going to call me. They sell it. The information data. And I know this all to be true because I've done on the other side of this with one association. They made a lot of money with telemarketers. which is a dirty, shady, stinky business to be involved in. And now, I didn't contract any of this and whatever. They were making millions of dollars just cold calling people.
Well, that's why people got a hold of the idea of stopping people from using their information. And I notice a lot of places.
But you can't.
But that they claim that they can.
No, it's no
but
way.
But it isn't possible.
And then with the advent of the cell phone being used for everything, what do you do if you lose your cell phone? What if your cell phone's stolen? And I just watched a video of this Cash Gordon guy, Jordan, is doing these videos out of New York. They're all about 15 minutes. And he is just hammering what's going on in New York. And today's was on people using mopeds and scooters to steal. Now, they just come up beside you and rip it out of your hand. Well, there's nothing new about any of that. It's just that the sheer volume of it is just staggering in New York. And they're using the newly installed bike lanes as their escape routes because they don't have all the boxed up traffic. excuse me. But in any event.
So what do they do? When you're reaching out to put your card into a receptacle, they just
They can do that. They take the cell phones out of your hand. If you're a woman and you got a purse and you got your bags and stuff, they'll just come up and just rip them. If you're getting ready to get in or out of your car, some of these people will carjack you right there. There's nothing you can do. But today's was based on one of the things with cell phones. And you can't even call the police. Not that they're going to be able to do anything, but you can't even call the police because the bad guy's got your phone. Well, he's got everything else, too, for a lot of these folks, because that's how they buy. That's how they make their payments. That's how they do everything. So if I got your cell phone, I've got you, and at least for a short period of time. Now, if you've got a password that protects it, then you've done some protection. But it's going to take you time to get all that set up.
As I understand it, they even have electronics that they can put your phone into, and it'll run a million passwords by it. In a couple of minutes. And so
that's one of the reasons that you're told not to use words. If it's in the English dictionary, in fact, if it's in any dictionary, then it can be decoded.
Well, it would seem to me that using the alphabet is actually more effective than using the integers, because there's 26 characters in the alphabet and there's only 10 integers in the
well, that's true. I mean, but at the same token, you've got to interface a variety of different things, uppercase, lowercase,
digits.
Well, I think
the word thing is more predictable because the words are a narrower band.
But do not use words, because there are sniffing programs out there that have all the dictionaries in them.
Sure.
And they can do this at lightning speed, literally.
Yeah, I know
they can. And so
and they're getting faster and faster.
Sure. And the truth is how much of this stuff do we really know? I know my accountant and my tax ladies both scream and yell about the fact that I still use paper checks. He said, why aren't you just doing this, and this? Yeah, because it's not secure. Now, you can argue that checks aren't either, but checks are a lot easier to deal with because...
Well, one of the reasons that checks are better nowadays is because the emphasis on the electronics, and no longer is it on
right.
check fraud. So there's not nearly so many people perpetrating check fraud as there used to be, because it's so lucrative to stick with the internet.
Well, that, and there's a lot of safety things that are in checks today that I'm not even sure everybody's aware of that makes it much more difficult. But I don't trust and use the U.S. Postal Service unless I have to, because you put a mail in, and how many weeks is it before it gets delivered potentially? And there's a variety of reasons for if it even gets delivered. Now, there's so many scams in the emails that I know with me, probably every one legitimate email, there's at least 10 to 15 junk emails. And I imagine that's true for most people.
Well, most people.
And
you have a much broader reach.
True, so. But it's look how much time you've got to spend sifting through stuff. This morning, I was on the phone with the executive secretary to a president of a very large international association who I'm trying to get in touch with to maybe do a business deal. And she's obviously the gatekeeper. And we got to talking and laughing, because at first she's being all standoffish and, you know, just being what you'd expect. And I said, well, I've sent an email of introduction, because I understand you probably get people calling all the time, but this is the real deal. And I CC'd the credentials to go with it. And I need to do this and this. And, you know, I blah, blah. And then suddenly she opened up because it's true. They spend all day long fielding garbage.
How do you verify? How can she have any verification from anything that you send her? Because it's all so easy to duplicate. I don't see how.
Well, that's true, but it's not true because a lot of the stuff that I'm having to deal with is verifiable through going to state and federal websites. I mean, in fact, that's where this stuff all comes from.
Well, if you have identification numbers that are across.
There's all of that. So when they, for example, this is something new that I just discovered, is that the secretaries of state for in each state of United States is now providing certificates of legitimacy on corporations that updates constantly. Now, you have what's referred to the SS-1, and that goes in, and that is part of it. If you're a nonprofit, you have the Attorney General reporting and things like that, and then the Franchise Tax Board. There's other people that plug into it. But the bottom line is, do you owe taxes? Are you delinquent? Are you doing your reporting properly and whatever? And if you are, you get this certificate that says you're being a good boy and girl and press on. And so I have that certificate. Well, that certificate's available to absolutely anybody who wants it. But you have to be legitimate to get into the system. At least your lie has to be legitimate. And so you get in there. And so that's why you have these multiple level verifications. And there's a system called SAM, something accounting management system. I forget. It's a federal system. Anybody that gets any kind of federal aid money wise in grants and whatever has to complete the SAM application. And it asks a ton of questions, all of which get verified by Internal Revenue Service, the Department of Justice. Everybody goes through it and gets their 10 cents into it. And if you've got a SAM number, then you're cooking with gas because everybody knows it's vetted and it's constantly being updated. So, but you're right, because I could copy somebody else's documents or I can pose as them. That's another thing that goes on, is people posing.
Oh, of course.
That's very common. And it's the other thing with websites. You can have a website and you get your own domain name, like abc.com or something. Well, that's obviously been taken, but abc.com, abc.net, abc.org. Then you've got all the derivatives that you could put in front of that, USABC. How many of those do you want to buy up so that somebody else can't come in beside you and pose as you? And that's a very real thing that goes on. Are you even on a real website for the organization that you're trying to do business with?
Well, how does the man on the street, without all of these credentials and things,
you have to call.
How are they able to? And of course, when you call, you can't get anyone because.
Well, that's almost a clue that it's real.
Well, that's. I mean, isn't that an interesting commentary?
But it's true. I mean, most of the, yeah, how do you get a hold of anybody? People have stopped answering their phones because of all the scams staffing and other issues. But I mean, for every real phone call I get, the rest are just telemarketers, scams, and hustles. And some of these people have gotten extremely sophisticated.
Oh, that's what I ran into.
So I say, well, send me a letter. Never once have I received a phone call from somebody with whatever their hustle is, send me a letter. I said, just send me a letter. Well, we don't do that. Well, then that's it. You're done. Bye. Mm-hmm. And you got to take a hard line with this. And every so often, you're going to blow off a viable.
Well, that was the problem that I had, because they sent me a letter with all of the descriptions and all of the reasons that they were doing such a, you know.
Well, somebody clearly targeted you.
To some extent.
Okay, so you get targeted. How did they find you?
Well, that's why I say that I'm on the dark web, as I understand it. I've already been notified of that. But how much information is there? I mean, does that mean that they know everything about me? Or does that mean
everybody,
that there are some things there that they know?
Trust me, Ted, if you have the money, they can find out anything they want to know. It's
Well, see, the interesting thing is that fortunately, I have no money. So they couldn't.
Well, they don't necessarily know that yet, do they? And so just because they may not be able to get a financial on you, they look at your credit report, for example.
Well, my credit report is high. I've got a super high credit report.
So do I.
Because I have nothing but a debit card. You know, I don't write checks. I don't write.
So do you know what your credit is, your credit number?
The credit number?
Well, I mean, what are you, 700, 800?
No, it's 800. It's 800 plus. You know?
Yeah, so is mine. And so that would infer that there's money somewhere because how are you paying all your bills?
Right.
And so it's worth the effort potentially. I don't want to go chase somebody with a 500 or 400 credit score. I want to go chase the 800s because they're, right. you know. So, and that's easy to get. That's not a secret. You can run a minimal Dun & Bradstreet on almost any business. Okay. Same thing. So, and it's easier to imitate businesses than individuals because how many of these people are paying attention anyway? If once you're in the billing system, you're there for life. And depending how big the device is and how they controlled are on paying invoices, you send your invoice in, it gets paid. So you cannot be too careful. And the more sophisticated it is, the higher probability it's a scam. And yet...
Well, the thing that I didn't do that I should have done right away because I was so enhanced...
Enamored
with the whole situation, I should have gone online and looked up the company and then and read what they had to say because they just ran it all down. Do not, we don't, do not do this, do not do that. We do not do this. This isn't an indication immediately that you're being scammed if these things happen. And that's what needs to happen when
right.
when something comes along that looks as if it's too good to be true but feels like you know, you'd really like to follow up on it, find out the company's name, and go on their website and look at them.
You're absolutely right. You have to spend some. No one is calling you up to give you $7 million.
No, that's not happening.
It's just not going to happen. I say that as I did actually win a six-pack of Coke from Monty Hall once.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. Back when he was doing that game show, I forgot what it was. He'd call people up, cold call them. And so anyway. But that's the only time I've ever won anything to speak of. And I would be very suspicious of anybody who said I did win something. And even if I did win, do I even really care? Because do I want to pay the taxes on it? Do I want to play the game? And generally there's you've won this amount of money, but you've got to be our spokesperson or you got to be or you got to be that. No. This all is just another version of a scam. And maybe I'm not a victim. Maybe you're legitimately paying me, but you want me to represent you in some capacity, and I don't even know who you are. I just don't do it. And
I wanted to broach the subject because you don't hear much about it, and I think that it's getting to be a larger and larger force
every day.
Our society. And you read of people that are giving thousands and thousands of dollars there, and you know, life savings go into these things. And these people are really adept at prying you loose from your monies, especially when people have a great deal of money. Then
is a common problem, and I'm glad you brought it up because it's embarrassing to sit there. I just got ripped off for this and that. On the other hand, there's lots of people that have had the same story in some form, and you just can't be too careful. And if your instincts are telling you that this is a hustle, then
it's a hustle.
I mean, especially for older folks. I mean, we've been around the block a couple times.
And I see in retrospect, of course, so many things that I should have done. But the idea is that there's something compelling about the idea that, you know, your life is going to change for the better and all these things that you can do to help your family and your friends and the people that you work with and the projects that you have and all these things go through your mind. And then when something pops up and you go, wait a minute, that's not the way
the world works.
It happened a couple of three times where I just went, oh, this is not right. They shouldn't be asking me for this. You know, this is the red flag start flying. And immediately they would back up and say, oh, well, we're doing that in order to protect you from scamming.
Well, one of the scams that I'm seeing that come through on my emails is invoice scams where they say you owe us this amount of money.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's why you have a purchase order. That's why whatever. And some of them have come in, and because I've got other people doing stuff. I don't do it all myself. I'm not babysitting and micromanaging. So maybe somebody did go out and do something. So I get a hold of the bookkeeper. And I say, yo, bookkeeper, is this real? Or tax lady, is this real? Because I've seen tax scams come too. and or notices, warning notices that you're a very bad boy and you owe this.
One of the biggest scams that I see recently is that they say, you have just, we just charged $1,700 to your credit card. If this is an erroneous charge, just call this number. Well, as soon as you call that number, man, you are stuck in that.
Yep.
You
know, you're just don't call anybody back like that.
I just cancel it. I just move on.
Yeah, my experience has been if you owe somebody some money, it will be a period of time that lapses, and you will know firsthand who you owe the money to.
You'll be hearing it again, too. I mean, you could, first time that comes through, you delete it, with no.
Another scam that's going around, and it's kind of a fun scam in a way if you got some free time, is you start getting texts on your phone saying, I'll be there in 10 minutes or something like that, some ambiguous thing, or are we still going to dinner tonight? I've seen several versions of the same kind of thing. And you look at it and you go, well, now, who is this?
I don't remember. Did I forget some
appointment? I'm sufficiently busy, as most people are, that I do tend to forget. And maybe I did have an appointment tonight, or maybe I am supposed to meet somebody, or, oh, my God, I screwed up. So you go, well, who is this, or what did I forget, or whatever. Now, all of a sudden, you're in a conversation. Now they got you. Now, it becomes readily apparent really quick. There is no dinner reservation. I didn't miss anything. There's nothing going on. But these people are toying with you and trying to create an environment. So that sounds like a soap opera. Here's what scam coming in right now.
I got one coming at me right this minute.
Yeah, we're not
Shall I answer it?
No. If we were on the air, we would do it. Back in the radio days, we would have answered that. But it's so prevalent. My ultimate frustration is it's making it very difficult to conduct real business because
this
people
is interesting. My phone is locked.
Uh-huh.
And yet I still got a telephone. I turned my phone off completely because we're recording and it's still active.
Well, somewhere along life's happy little trail, you've gone on the wrong website or sent information to the wrong person, or somebody captured your phone through an attachment. Yeah, I don't know. You just turn the whole thing off and reboot it. But the bottom line is that you cannot do legitimate business now because people aren't answering their phones. How many people do you call that you get the answering machine and then they call you back? Wasting time and frustration and everything. And I know why they do it, but it's just...
Well, and you call a number that you would think there wouldn't be that many, and they say, well, all of our operators are busy right now.
And we care about you. That's
right. This is very important to us,
No, it's
and,
not.
And so what's happening is, well, maybe they've got one person on the switchboard.
That's right.
And that would account for all of their people.
One or two people answering the phone for some of these big, large corporations who might not even be in the country. And they're
That's
transferring.
Another pet peeve is that you'll call a company to get information or respond to something. And then you cannot understand the person that answers the phone because their English is so bad.
That's correct.
That it's very and it's embarrassing to have to say to someone, I can't understand.
Why are you embarrassed?
Well, because I feel as if it's an affront to them because they're trying so hard to be able to speak the language.
But see, I disagree. I think that if I were in a choir, which would be the last thing that would ever happen, probably. But if I were in a choir, because the people that hire choir singers says, well, we have to be all inclusive, and that includes bringing in the people that can't sing. And Michael really wants to be, in the choir, so let's give him a part. Forget that. If you're a person that's being hired to be a communicator, answer the phone, talk on the radio, whatever, you must have an ability to speak English language and be understandable. That's the whole purpose of your job.
One of the big failings in this particular scam that I ran into is that people did not, for one thing, they used the software to disguise their voices and made their voices very loud.
Well, there's
and also that they had no command of the English language and they had very low IQs.
That's a clue too.
I have a tendency to use larger words and things
because
I really am interested in language. And all of a sudden, I realize this person is not understanding a word I'm saying because they got lost back on in turbulation or whatever it was that I said. And so it's like, what are these people doing as, you know, members of the board of directors of this huge corporation as they've identified themselves, you know? And, you know, there is another, you know, another...
Everyone's trying to save money, myself included.
But we're also being taught that we should not talk down to people, that we shouldn't discriminate.
I disagree with that.
I think that
you're setting people up for failure.
Well, I mean, it's a Peter principle, you know. They rise a couple of notches beyond their capabilities, and then they get the job, and then it shows up readily.
Yeah, if I'm hiring you to be the line striper and you can't put a line across the street straight, and we've seen some of that, why are you even there? What happened to qualifications? You're going to be the bookkeeper and you don't know basic arithmetic.
There's so much of that out there, though.
And
I'm the kind of person, I don't want to embarrass them, or I don't want, you know, to draw attention
but
to
you're not the
capability. No, I know, you're right. You're absolutely right. But I'm just speaking from my own viewpoint that it is...
I'm around a lot of people that don't speak English a lot, as you know. And I would never ask any of them to take on any kind of project or role in which English was an issue, because I don't want to embarrass them. And in turn, I don't want to look inefficient, and I don't want somebody sitting there going, what are you doing hiring a bunch of people who can't speak English?
The thing is that large corporations do it all the time.
Well, sure they do.
Because they don't pay these people anything.
But they have the advantage of being a large corporation. They can hide, and nobody's going to bother them. I don't have that.
I think that what they're doing is these calls are going out of the country.
That could be.
And so they're going to switchboards that are in the Philippines or something like that. And they really don't have any.
Well, where this is going to get to be very, very challenging is with AI, because AI is going to resolve all those problems that you've articulated, the writing, the poor English, and all. It's going to be good. So you're going to get some pretty sophisticated phone calls and letters from people, and video for that matter. Some of the videos that are coming out, they're doing them as spoofs. But you go, for the person that's not paying any attention and not really looking at these, they'll pass for sure.
Oh, of course they will.
Especially on a cell phone.
People are busy.
They're busy. They're
going. Plus, you're seeing an image that's very small, so the detail is missing.
It goes back to my frustration about the phones, is that all of these communication methods are being diluted to the point they're almost not usable by the legitimate users, because there's so much garbage out there.
Well, the thing is that we have gotten used to compensating for garbage in our minds.
Well, you may have. I haven't, because I refuse to engage it. If people just said no, no is the most powerful word in the English language, and it doesn't get used enough, and yet it's probably the first word that, 95-98% of all the population learns is no, if they had any parents at all. And so I sound like I'm probably being a fanatic about it, but if we started saying no a lot more, some of these problems would start going away. Because if there was no money in scamming people on the phones, they wouldn't do it. If there was no money.
Well, that's why we're so busy and so gullible, and we want to get it done, get it out of the way.
But so busy doing what? That's a question that I started at.
Watching TV.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe.
The thing is, we perceive ourselves. That's why people are in such a hurry to get home. And they get home, and what do? They have a drink, they sit down. And what, you know, and they're putting their own lives and other people's lives in danger because they're driving so erratically on the highway to get someplace that they don't really need to be.
The best example of that, Ted, is something that's always fascinated me, and that's aircraft boarding and debarking. I guess it's debarking. They come out, there's your United Airlines flight 123 now boarding at gate 15,886 if you're a ticket. And all of a sudden, the line looks like the Pirates of the Caribbean. Everybody's in a hurry to get onto this airplane. Now, the airplane's not going anywhere until the door gets closed, and the door doesn't get closed until the last ticket holder walks through it, assuming they're there on time. So what's the hurry?
You've got a ticket and you're there on time, you're going to get
on.
You're going to get your seat.
There's no hurry. And then as soon as the rubber scratches across the asphalt of the runway. People are jumping up and grabbing stuff. Well, the most dangerous time of flying is actually on the ground. So where you really need to be strapped in and paying attention to what's going on and be ready to bail is when you have just landed or you're taxiing to take off. And therefore, you're exposing yourself
and everybody else for that matter.
And where are you going to go? Because no one's going anywhere until they open the door. Now, aren't you going to look dumb when they hold you out there at the taxiways for 35, 40 minutes because there's no gate to unload at? Which is a frequent problem at a lot of these airports, or that there's a security issue. Or I remember, I think it was in Chicago, someplace we had a guy had a heart attack on the aircraft. What a circus that all turned into, because we were already on our way out to take off, and we're in the pattern, and we're lined up, and now all of a sudden they got to get airplanes out of the way because they got to get this thing, and they get the airplane off to the side. So there we are out in the middle of nowhere at the airport with America's Heroes coming in, and there's no room in an airplane for firefighters and paramedics and all of that. What a fiasco. And they were able to get the guy out of there and do their thing, but I've been around enough of that. I'm sure there's people listening to this that have got all kinds of aviation stories to tell. But that fascinates me. Why is everybody in such a hurry to get off something you can't get off of until they open the door? And where are you going to go then? We're all running down to go find our missing luggage or to find the restroom. And have you been to a restroom in a major airport lately?
I never will go in there unless there's no flights available for a while because it's just madhouse.
I don't remember which airport it was. I want to say it's San Francisco, but it may not. Maybe it was up at Seattle. Maybe it was SeaTac. But anyway, I get off the airplane, and not unlike a lot of people, it's I got to go find the head. Well, where is it? Because the signs that used to hang from the ceiling that said men, women, restrooms, or whatever, they're gone. And now you walk down, and there it is, restroom. You walk in there, and they look like holding cells at the central jail. They are unisexed restrooms now. They are very benign looking, but they do look like holding cells. And this is what we're coming up. This is the last place in the world parents with kids should be bringing kids. Okay. This is not a good setup. And, of course, nobody wants to talk about the reality of what goes on in restrooms and the types of people that are hanging out there. It's been going on forever. Airports and libraries, two places you really want to be paying attention. And so be that as it may, I think, wow, air travel is just taking another big step in the wrong direction.
So where are we?
We were talking about scams and how you became a victim of a scam and trying to share that experience so that other people don't do it and or slow down and ask obvious questions. And are you, I guess the other thing is that if you're having to send money to somebody, make sure that somebody's real.
Well, one of the things you want to do is beware of gift cards.
I don't use those.
Because as soon as anyone asks you to go and buy them a gift card, that's the biggest red light for scams because and why they sell gift cards without warnings, you know, on the, you know, you go to a carousel and there's 30 different kinds of gift cards that you can buy from all these different.
Another scam that's on those is that some of those people will go in and they'll reprogram the magnetic strip. So there's no money on the thing. It's a software download that comes into your and it just cleans out your phone. So there's all kinds of scams like that or the kidnapping scam, you know, oh my God, Ted's been kidnapped. He needs $150 million to get him out of some third world jail.
That's one of the things I get is grandpa. I get a phone call and someone will say, grandpa. And I immediately say, well, you know, how long have you been living in South America? I didn't realize that you've accumulated an accent that you never had growing up.
Of course, you don't know. That could have been one of your long missing kids.
Well, that's.
I mean, now that you're rich and famous with your $7 million award, you've got all these kids coming out of the cracks.
Here it comes, you know.
I know they tried that scam on my aunt. She was in Detroit of all places, and she thought one of my brothers got kidnapped. But she was a bank executive, so she tune for scams. She's always looking for the lie because you're banks right. are the banks get mad when somebody gets one up on them. So yeah. they're always, you know, yeah. ahead of the curve. So she already knew. So, but yeah. And
but the interesting thing is that we have not developed a way of catching these people. One other thing that's interesting.
We have not developed the interest.
It seems like that the use of the telephone system is just wide open. I mean, I don't know how they are able to grab these telephone numbers that are not being used and used them to make long distance.
Well, they get reassigned. They get reassigned. But there are technologies out there that could easily be implemented, but the desire to go after people. We have a cultural shift in this country that for some reason we don't want to go after the bad guys on anything. And at what point is it going to just turn into anarchy, which is getting close on the streets as far as big city goes? But, you know, and who's going to investigate this stuff? There's so much of it. It's just so rampant.
Well, what's happening is that the law enforcement is getting bored with these things. Okay, fill out this report. You just go online, fill out a report. We'll look at it. And if it's acceptable,
well, I don't think
we'll give you a case number, and then you're covered in case there's something coming in.
I don't think bored's the right word. I think they're frustrated to the point that why bother?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just like there's no interest.
It's like arresting all these kids off these campuses. Okay, so they're trespassing and they're abusing the campus
how about
and everything.
Arresting kids that are riding electric bicycles and putting a lot of
it's a waste of time because
danger.
The DA won't file on them. And if the DA doesn't file on them, does that make it a bad arrest? And the other thing is that all those people complain. Well, now they keep book on all the cops. So any complaints you get goes into the black book. There's lots of reasons to just sit back and do nothing. Because in the end, it's like fire. All fires put themselves out. You don't have to do anything.
I mean, I have to say that, you know, I have been hearing a lot about emergency services recently because of my wife's getting credited as EMT. And some of the stories that she brings back about I don't know, I probably shouldn't even get into it, you know, because it is just appalling what happens under some circumstances with the ambulance responses and how they treat and how they mistreat and how they don't treat people that need attention. And we've got this idea that everything is okay. You get the ambulance arrives, thank God. And what happens is like you may be actually thinking exactly the opposite when you get the attention that some of these people provide, because a lot of times they're not interested or they misdiagnose tremendously. I mean, oh my God, Mike!
I probably
shouldn't even be talking.
I'm well aware of it. I wrote a book about it, but I did a lot of research on it, and it's burnout. It's cultural. It's money. It is politics. It is unions. Don't think the unions don't have a big chunk in that. It is the hospitals. There's all kinds of people involved.
Huge. It's huge, and they just get hammered. These people that respond are getting hammered from all kinds of different. And then they're overtired, they're underpaid, you know, all the things that you mentioned.
Everything you do is questioned.
And so this person, this victim, has all the indications that they are an alcoholic. Well, it turns out that they're not alcoholic at all. They fell and they broke a vertebrae in their back up below mm-hmm. their neck, and they're going into complete... and yet they're moving around and training.
And even if they are alcoholic, that doesn't necessarily...
It should not matter a bit. It shouldn't matter any. But that's easily... Then, of course, it's like, oh, this person is a drunk, and so we're dismissing them. The thing is that the EMTs don't, for some reason, don't learn the fact that sometimes the indications of someone being drunk is an indication of a very damaging...
That's
that
correct.
Has happened to them, and they haven't taken any alcohol at all.
This is a true story, and it happened to me, so it's fair game. Got a call one night, this is decades ago, of a trespasser in the emergency room. Then the patient had come in, walked off the street, transient, and wanted medical care, and he was a frequent flyer. He's in there all the time. Anyway, so I get there, and the doctor wants him out. Guy says, I'm not leaving. There's something really wrong with me, and he clearly had something wrong with him. There, but he was a chronic alcoholic. He was a, somebody that everybody in the hospital knew. I didn't know him. Anyway, bottom line is they want him to gone. He wouldn't leave. So I said, hey, your only other choice is to get you arrested. And I've got the medical treatment form right here. So you're going to go straight to jail. And if there's something wrong with you, then the jail will bring you back. And so the guy said, fine, that's okay. So I hook him up, take him. That's when I was in Orange County. Book him into the Orange County jail in Santa Ana. And I drive back and I get to the office. And the phone rings, and it's the dispatcher. Call the watch commander at the jail. They need to talk to you. Okay. So I call the watch commander. Did you bring in so-and-so at such-and-such a time? Yes. And is it case number such-and-such so-and-so? Yes. Okay. Well, we got a problem. I go, what's that? And he said, he's dead. I'm sitting there. Well, he wasn't dead when I brought him in. Well, he's dead now. And so that's, and it was the coroner got involved, and everybody's there, and I did everything by the book. This is why I learned early in life, as much as I hate the book, if you stick to the book, there isn't anything anybody can, they may not like you, they may call you names, but you're not the one that has to worry about what happens afterwards. And so I stuck to the book, and I don't know where it all went after that. It's amazing. If you're the good guy and you stick to the book, all of a sudden you disappear. Nobody wants to talk to you. Right. Because the system obviously failed. And it's because they just assume that this drunk,
and that they know has been a well-known drunk.
And I've seen this over and over and over again with the transient population where they get treated exactly what you're talking about. And yet they don't necessarily fit that. My brother, he had a stroke and he was in Huntington Beach, fortunately for him. And so the ambulance gets there. They transport him. Now, this fire department runs the paramedic service there, so he gets first-rate coverage because they saw where he lived and everything. And that's a big deal. I mean, they're never going to admit it, but
that's what they judge.
If they say,
if
hey,
he was in a homeless camp, he wouldn't get the same treatment.
But when he shows up in the emergency room and they dump him there and he's on the gurney, in comes the intern or whoever, and they look at him and they go, oh, here's a 40-something-year-old male Caucasian exhibiting stroke symptoms, blah, blah, blah. Well, how could a 40-something-year-old guy that's in other words good physical shape be having a stroke? So the questioning goes in the wrong direction right at the get-go, where, in fact, he had had a massive stroke, no fault of any of his lifestyle because he doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and is the only one in the family that has any athletic capabilities at all. So the bottom line is the hospital screwed up.
Well, what happens is the people in positions of critical care have a tendency to compartmentalize the patients that come before them.
Because it's easy.
And it makes a job easier, and it's actually a talent to do that. But it's also has a failure rate that's fairly high, because what happens, this person could be dressed in rags and stink to high heaven, and be 27 years old and look like they're physically, you know, in top shape. And then they have just had like an aneurysm in their brain or something like that.
I went on a call in Isla Vista one morning, and it was an overdose. Now, you get those calls out there all the time. So you get there, and sure enough, there she is. She happened to be a middle-aged woman on the floor. And in an apartment, so we're not talking about somebody in the park or anything, and she's out of it, and everyone's just in this nonchalant, no big deal, this is just another one of those calls.
And that before Narcan, probably.
Oh, way before then. We're talking about 1980s here.
Right.
And so I asked the obvious question that should have been asked by somebody else. I'm just the cop there. That's why I'm even there. And they said, well, here's what she took. It was Inderol.
I don't know.
Inderol, you need to bag this lady and get her to the hospital right now, or she's not going to be going to the hospital. And they go, why? I said, do you have any idea what Inderol is? And they go, no. And I said, well, it's used for blood thinning and it dilates the vessel. If she took this whole bottle, it'll kill her. You need to get her there. Well, it saved her life by me just being my typical formal jerk. And it was Inderol. I just happened to know what Inderol was because I just happened to take it for my headaches. So I knew how dangerous this stuff was if you took too much of it. It was just a fluke. It was just one of those things that happens from time to time. Because I'm not walking around as the PDR of pharmaceuticals. So anyway, it saved your life. And the hospital said, you know, you guys saved this lady's life. She was going to go because it just dilates your vessels. Your blood pressure just drops to zero. And obviously she knew that because that's why she took it.
Yeah.
She went on and married a lawyer. So, you know.
Got what she deserved.
I guess. I could tell stories like this all night long about stuff that goes on out there. And we could argue that it's right, it's wrong. You can justify it. You can say it's burnout. You can say whatever you want to say. All of it's true and all of it's wrong. But it requires a certain level of compassion. And it also requires that you slow down a little bit and say, what am I really looking at here? What is this really?
That's where the common sense factor failed me miserably in my situation. Because the little red light, the yellow light, the red light, whatever, was flashing in the back of my mind. You know, this isn't right. There's something stinky here. But I wanted so much for it to be true that I overlooked a lot of my normal warning system. And that's why we really need to take it upon ourselves to take a look at these situations before we get too far into them. And then we've got an investment, and then we've got somebody that's, you know, working to convince us that everything's all right. I just got a telephone call yesterday from these people, and they called me on a number that just came as a series of ones across the top of my and they're, well, what happened to you? You know, are you all right? And you know how you we're still going for it. And my wife actually saw the phone. She grabbed away and she cussed them out like.
Oh, you should have played with him and sit there. Well, everything was fine. And then a couple FBI agents showed up here last night and they were asking all kinds of questions about you guys. And it kind of puts me off.
They'll be calling you because I gave you all your telephone numbers, you know. And of course, it's really fruitless. And the thing is that there's our retributive possibility as well, because they do have a lot of information that you have given them. And if they really wanted to be ugly about it, I'm sure they could raise hell with all sorts of things.
Well, that's why you want to keep track of your credit report, make sure somebody hasn't adopted you as their surrogate.
Well, they have me down as a victim of...
you got to cover yourself.
I just lost my credibility. And anyway, something I think that everybody should be.
But, you know, there's another level of scams that go on that impact all of us, and it's legal. And that's what corporate America is doing to us with, you know, the sub fees and the extra charges and the downsizing. You buy a product, it's in a box, but when you open it up, the product itself is a fraction of the size. It's misleading. It's disingenuous.
They have just reduced the size of sparkling water bottles from a liter and a half to just over a liter. And I know that most likely it has to do with the plastic involved, and no longer can you buy little bottles of sparkling water because they just are ubiquitous. Yeah. And they use way too much plastic. And so they've taken that on as an excuse.
But I don't really believe for a second that's why they cut the...
No. What they're doing is they're just
cutting costs.
They're cutting costs.
They cut costs and they rip people off and they do it with a smile saying, well, we're saving the planet from plastic.
Oh, of course.
That's all garbage.
Of course.
And it's the housing situation. It's all about the property taxes. What's more stable? Income coming in from property taxes or income coming in from other sources? People pay their property taxes. There's exceptions out there, but it's pretty stable income. If I was running a city, I would be looking at where's my most stable sources of income and putting my efforts towards them.
Down on people that have illegal rentals and they're not paying their bed tax. And that's a huge amount of money for the city.
10 years ago, they would have evicted you and filed charges against you for violation of the ordinances regarding that. And as a fire safety hazard, and you're endangering the lives of the millions of people and everything. Now it's they want the taxes out of the thing. So it's a complete different shift. And we're all doing this because we care about the planet or whatever the current rage is. But no, it's all about the money.
Well, and it is about the money, and it's a sad thing. And there's no, you know, it's the thing is that even compassion is for sale. You
sure.
Know, I mean, they use it as an excuse for so many things, and then there is the most offended individual has graduated from one or two things. Now there's a whole list of easily offended individuals that you have to be damn careful of offending, because they can take you to court for, you know, or
the
whatever.
Thing is,
you
though,
know that.
Yeah, but it's like a crying baby. Eventually you just don't hear it anymore. And unfortunately for the baby, sometimes they cry for a legitimate reason. Yeah. It's not just colic or whatever. But
there's a pin is open and sticking him in.
Yeah. But the stability of income from sales tax revenues is very transitory and changing constantly, but property taxes stay the same. If they lose all these stores and they replace them with condos that are all going to sell for millions of dollars a pop, everybody wins. And we do
except
that.
Except the people that live in the area who have to deal with all the excess traffic and all the, you know, parking.
Traffic? What traffic? What, you can't get a car in there. There's no place to go.
Well, that's a problem. And then they, all the traffic and the parking ends up, you know, in the neighborhood.
Well, we're getting into somebody else's stick. Let them complain about the traffic.
Okay, so
but,
we're getting but into, we're moving.
We're getting close. But what I wanted to bring up was that people are getting immune to having to watch out for absolutely everything.
Well, that's because we're getting, you know,
we're getting ripped off everywhere we go. You go, you buy an airplane ticket. It says it's going to be $49.95 or whatever. But we're going to charge you to put your baggage in there. We're going to charge you to get a seat you can actually fit in. We're going to charge you for the air. We're going to charge you for door docking fees and all of that. And they mask it. So it's not $49. It's
$100.
Yeah. And okay, why don't you just charge the $100 and call it a day? But that's not how it's done.
Well, the problem is they haven't learned yet that if they charge $100, people would accept that and pay it. But all these hidden costs, it upsets the public and angers them to the point that they're ready to, you know, pop off at the poor stewardess or whatever.
Where's the ones that take the
where's
brunt.
Where's my drink and where's my this? And you're working for me and, you know, and all this abuse and, oh, my God.
Yeah, so the angst and the anxiety and the lack of civility and all those things can be printed to a lot of different directions, obviously. But I really think it's down to the root thing is that people are just getting tired of being ripped off all the time by anybody and everybody. They're being lied to. They're being misled. They're being pandered.
Well, that's why we're having such an active election this season, because what's happening is that there is so much anger and diversion and angst about so many aspects of our government and what's fair and right.
Well, the only people I can see that's winning in any of that are the people that sell media, because look at all the advertising gets sold for all these different media outlets that can sit there and show the clown show. And it doesn't make any difference which clown you play with. It's money being made, because I'm not sure how much of it really matters anyway at this stage of the game.
Well, it's tough. It's a tough one, and it's going to be a long haul before we get the, you know, the 1st of November. You know,
I subscribe to Gordon Graham's attitude about nothing changes until there's a significant emotional event. And that includes individuals, it includes organizations, and it includes society. When we have our next significant emotional event, things will change. And if we look at the world right now and all the turmoil and what all is going on, I think it's reasonable to assume that a significant emotional event is coming our way any day.
Well, hasn't it happened already, or are we looking at further in turbulation? You know?
Oh, I think there's much more coming. I think we're just barely touching the surface of what's coming. Mm-hmm. And there's too much angst in the world. There's too much that needs to get reset. There's too many people unsettled. There's too many people lying to too many people who are lying. The corporate machine is threatened.
Too many people that have an investment in something that
they're scared.
Totally untrue, you know?
They're scared, and I understand that. Fear is a terrible thing, but thank goodness we're out of time.
Oh, well,
so I'm going to push the magic red button here, and we're going to get out of here. Thanks for listening to Not If. But when, Ted Adams and Mike Williams, we're going to fade out of here. We will catch you next week. Same location. Thanks for listening.
You should be hearing it.
I can't hear anything.